are Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Tuesday, March 2nd, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high-quality content that is trying to steal myself because we have to talk about multiple penguins on today's episode. There are too many penguins.
There are a lot of penguins, but at least we get to talk about the Phantoms.
That's true. Bonus there. So to keep track of the Flyers and the Phantoms and the Penguins that they face, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. You can also send us mailbag questions, all that good stuff. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com, and you can still get in mailbag questions for Wednesday's episode in now. We are your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And today we're going to do some quick Flyers updates and get ready for our three-game series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then we're going to talk about the Phantoms. And there's a lot of good stuff on that front. So really good episode today. And to subscribe to Locked On Flyers, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. So hit that subscribe button. You'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right, Danielle. So not a ton of Flyers news coming down the pike yesterday. We did hear that Sam Moran was transferred to the Phantoms from the taxi squad, which is good. They'll get some playing time. So hopefully that will help him out. And then we learned that Travis Konecny has skated and he's going to Pittsburgh, but tonight will be a game time decision. So that could affect some Flyers lines if he plays or doesn't play in
That'll be really interesting to see if he does play, how the lines shake out. Because, I mean, I don't know if you can even, or if you even want to take away JVR and Farabee from Couturier, because they have been fantastic. And then, I mean, we talked about the Giroux-Hayes-Patrick line, and Giroux and Patrick have looked really good, but Hayes has been a bit questionable. So it'll be interesting to see what AV wants to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And then at the game versus the Penguins, it might have some fans there. The state of Pennsylvania increased their capacity for indoor events to 15%. And so they're going to do it in Pittsburgh. The Philadelphia city has not, as of recording, said that they will match what the state has said. So no update on the Flyers yet. But the Phantoms have announced that they will be allowing that capacity in Lehigh Valley as well.
Yeah, that was so surprising to me. I mean, I guess when I think about it, it's not surprising, but I still in my mind think, no mass gatherings, no more than, like, don't surround yourself with a ton of people. Going to a game just doesn't seem like a possibility right now. But, you know, not for arenas and teams. Like, there's so many teams in the league that need fans in the stands. And even if it's not to make a profit, but it's to continue and to keep their season's ticket holders. So completely understand that aspect of it. And it's good that I know that the Phantoms are having more people there. It's good for them because at the AHL, they definitely need it.
They do. And the team owner did a really good interview during the past few games. Bob Brochuk split it up and he talked about how the building there, they actually have a medical grade air system in terms of recirculating and cleaning of the air. So if that makes people feel better about going, I am certainly glad to have that information.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So the Pittsburgh Penguins, it's been a little while since we've seen them. We did open the season against the Pens where the Flyers won both games, but things are a little different now. Ron Hextall, of course, is their GM. He recently hired Chris Pryor, who we know as our former Flyers director of player personnel over there. So it's kind of turning into like a little bit of a mini Flyers central there between that. And then, you know, of course, they claimed Mark Friedman. He hasn't played yet, but it would not be surprising, as you said before we started recording, if they just put him in the game to be mean to the Flyers.
I don't think that's likely, but I mean, I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, so the Pens are currently, as of recording, 11-8-1. They're in fifth place in the division, just below the Flyers. But there's such like a wide swath of games played in the division because of the COVID situations that it's kind of deceptive. The Pens are 15th overall in the NHL standings, so kind of mid-pack, which is pretty typical for them when they tend to have successful seasons, that they're like a late peaking team that goes into the playoffs and is successful when, in fact, they are. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. In their last few starts, this is funny for them because their last 10 games have been either against the Caps or the Isles. So I think Pens fans are just excited to see a different team, except now it's 3 in a row against the Flyers.
No, I think they're dreading Philly for sure.
Not even for the change of pace.
No. They just want to get to Buffalo and the Rangers and the Devils. They want to get out of
there. Fair enough.
I mean, you know, yeah, the Islanders, they're an annoying team for sure. So I can understand that.
Yeah, they just had a 2-game series with the Isles where the Pens won the first one in OT, but then lost. And then they split a series before that with the Caps, winning 3-2 in overtime and then losing 5-2. So that's kind of been their MO as of late.
Yeah, I think as of right now, they only have 4 regulation wins so far this season. The rest have all come in overtime or a shootout.
That's incredible. We do know that Zucker has been out on LTIR, so that's kind of affected them. But, you know, they do still have the dangerous lines that we're used to, you know, the Crosby line, the Malkin line, but also their third line is not horrible.
Yeah, no, it's not. That Blueger line, which was originally their fourth line last season and has been elevated to that third line status, they have been pretty good together, but the only thing is that with Zucker out, the lines are changed. And so I believe Tanev has been, or Tanev and
Aston Reese.
Tanev and Zach Aston Reese have been skating on Malkin's line from the last time I've seen in their game against the Islanders. So that has kind of broken up that line. And with that those lines being broken up, honestly, it really seems like the only dominant line has been the Crosby line.
Yeah. Is there anyone else that you think we should be keeping an eye on that's been playing well as of late?
You know, with their record, honestly, not too many people. But one thing I will say is that Chris Letang has kind of turned it on. I believe right after, it was pretty much Sid's like 1,000th game played. He got 2 goals in that game. And then I believe he scored 2 goals against the Islanders. Letang and Matheson, not so much Matheson now, but he was definitely one of the highlights in their series against the Caps. So those two would be the two that I'd keep an eye out on. And of course, the Crosby line.
Yeah. One thing I will be keeping an eye out on is special teams, because the Pens seem to be in the mud with the Flyers as far as having a little bit of difficulty on both ends of it. Although, you know, the Flyers have gotten a little bit better as of late, but yeah. You know, I think both teams have had problems on that front. And so to see them match up against each other, I think either could go really well or really badly for either team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the fact that we highlighted their special teams, I wouldn't be surprised if a power play goal is scored. But I feel like I like our chances better, especially if Gustafsson is in the lineup with Gus Gossesbear, because I mean, of course, we talked about we like that power play unit. So fingers crossed the Flyers win the special teams battle.
Yeah, so we'll see how the D pairings pan out for the Flyers and how they match up against these Pens lines. But yeah, it should be an interesting game, that's for sure. And some animosity will be built up over the next 3 games, that I can pretty much guarantee. You know, one thing I can also guarantee is that if you need auto parts, the best place to go is rockauto.com. It's such an amazing website. They have reliably low prices. They're the same for everybody. And, you know, they don't change their prices based on what the market will bear. They stay generally low. And, you know, rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login or anything like that.
You know, what I love the most about rockauto.com is that it's a family business, so I feel like I can trust them. You know, especially dealing with your car, there's people that are always going to try to rip you off, and I've never felt like that with rockauto.com. They've been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years, and when you go to rockauto.com, you always go back to rockauto.com, because like you said, Rachel, their prices are always consistent and low, so it's affordable for everybody. When you go to rockauto.com to shop for auto or body parts, they have hundreds of different manufacturers to choose from. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamp, motor oil, even new carpet for your car. And you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Betting on the Flyers doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Subscribe to the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Danielle, it's that time. We get to talk about the Phantoms, which I am so excited to do every week. I think part of what's exciting, at least for me, about talking about the Phantoms is that while I do want them to win games, that is for sure, it's just really a good opportunity to see some of the prospects and, you know, get a sense of how they're playing. And so even when they don't win, I still have a good time.
Yeah, it's so weird because, you know, the winning is just a plus, right? It's every game seeing what prospect stands out, makes a good play, is just continuing to prove themselves and develop, which is the highlight.
Yeah. So, and that's a good bit of information going into this week in games that we just had. So coming into this past week, we knew about Chris Begras having an injury as well as Tyson Forrester, but we got Tanner Lyzinski and Linus Sandin back from injury, which is really good news. And Isaac Radcliffe was loaned back to the Phantoms, so he could be starting to skate soon. He's not in yet, but it's still a good sign. So hopefully we see him out on the ice sometime soon. And then, as we know, because the Flyers got all their players back from COVID protocol, they sent a whole bunch of players back down from the Flyers and the taxi squad. So the Phantoms had David Kasha, Derek Pouliot, Felix Sandstrom, Matt Strom, and Maxim Shushko back. So that was good. And then, you know, we just heard about Sam Moran getting sent back down, but for this past week, he was still with the Flyers. They started the weekend in great shape. They were atop the division 3-0-1 and had three games over the course of the weekend. All right, so these three games were, I think, a microcosm of what's going on with the Phantoms right now, with like really strong moments from individual players, but like I was trying to set up earlier, like as a team, they're kind of a mixed bag. So we have to kind of be realistic about that. Last Wednesday, they played the Binghamton Devils. And then on Friday and Saturday, they had a back-to-back against the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Pens. Hence, we're only talking about the Pens this episode. And I think there was a huge difference between their game against the Devils and the previous ones that they had played versus the games against the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Pens. Two totally different teams. And it really showed in the Phantoms' play. So on Wednesday, they won 5-4 in overtime with Zane MacIntyre in net. And I think for me, the big takeaway from this game was that they let a 3-1 lead slip away. And against a team like Binghamton, which is really, really weak, like you just can't do that.
Yeah. You know, one thing I do want to say is that like the Phantoms got a lot of new players back. So, you know, lines were probably a little bit different, just trying to get adjusted to playing with different line mates and just a different system. I do want to give them a little bit the benefit of the doubt, but I agree with you that it was kind of, but, you know, with Binghamton, I thought this was, I wouldn't say a sloppy game, but I definitely thought that the Phantoms let this one get a little bit out of control. I thought they kind of played more into Binghamton's hand than they have previously.
Yeah, I agree with that. They just got kind of suckered into like puck watching, mm-hmm. I think a little bit in this game. And it was just annoying because Binghamton was not playing well overall. And it was just like, it just seemed kind of out of nowhere that they got themselves back into it. There were a couple of high points of the game. I mean, they did win. It was so that is good. But Linus Sandin had his first pro goal in North America, and Tanner Lozinski got 2 assists in that game. So first pro points there. And Igor Zamula got an assist as well. So first pro point there. First AHL point for Brendan Saunier. So a lot of firsts in that game. And so that must have felt good for those individual guys.
Yeah, and Lozinski and Igor Zamula were 2 players that I was definitely keeping an eye out on. So it was good to see them chip in offensively. And, you know, that had to feel good for them to get going offensively.
Yeah. And, you know, aside from the fact that they did let that lead slip away, I think it was really important that they got back into it. They, you know, they tied it up again to force the overtime, which was good on the Linus Sandin goal. And then, man, that overtime goal.
I mean, Tuesday should be Max Willman and Zade Wisdom Day because they're always doing something.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I know. I felt bad because David Kasha had a couple of really good chances that just like didn't go. But then Max Willman comes streaking down and pots one, you know, with just 40 seconds left in the overtime. And yeah, it felt really good.
It did.
And then we moved on to Wilkes-Barre Scranton. And these 2 games, I think, were a big, like, wake-up call for the Phantoms, like I said. And the good thing about the first of those 2 games, which the Phantoms lost 4-2, is that nobody will ever remember that the Phantoms lost that game because Zade Wisdom had one of the most incredible goals I have ever seen, especially at the AHL level.
Incredible goal. Like, just every Tuesday we come on here and say, like, he's feeling it. But, like, that was the perfect embodiment of, like, he is so confident. He is so comfortable in the AHL right now. And it just shows. I love that for him.
Yeah, it was just, you know, where he was, like, falling down and backhands it into the net. I mean, come on.
Like, yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, not to be outdone, Max Willman, of course, scores in that game as well as the other, you know, goal scorer for the game. So again, even though they lost 4-2, I thought that there were some really great moments. Mason Millman got a pair of assists for his first professional points. And then that Zade Wisdom goal was just like, it just overshadowed everything.
Yeah, it did.
So then on Saturday, the Phantoms lost 5-4 in overtime, which that was super frustrating, I have to say, this game. It just felt like the Phantoms were letting up. Anytime they had just scored a goal, they would let up and the Pens would score another goal.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that was the theme of that game.
I agree. I Yeah, man, it was frustrating for sure, because there were a lot of really great moments in this game where you thought that they could definitely win it in regulation.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to sound like broken records, but Max Willman and Zade Wisdom both had amazing moments in this game, including one where Wisdom fed it to Willman for a goal, which just, again, it wasn't like as incredible as the one in the previous game that Wisdom scored, but it was just such a great play, such great vision from Wisdom to see Willman coming up the ice and get it to him on the back door.
Yeah.
So I think, like, really what did the Phantoms in were these early goals. So in the second period, the third period, and then, of course, the game winner in OT, Pens just got early goals in each of those periods. Mm-hmm. Like, the Phantoms just didn't seem to be ready to start the periods.
Which was kind of surprising, because I felt like before, I didn't feel like they had an issue with that. I felt like there were so many times where they started this period off strong. So this was a little bit surprising to see them just not prepared. And again, like we said before, this is a different opponent. I can't remember if this is the first time they're seeing Wilkes-Barre Scranton this season, but yeah, it just kind of felt like they were. It took them a little bit to get their groove into the period, and they just weren't able to get that save. Which I'm definitely not putting this on goaltending, but. Unfortunately, they couldn't get the save to not be down early.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think they definitely learned some lessons, and I personally would bet on the Phantoms to come back from this in future games, which we will talk about shortly. But speaking of future games, there's plenty every single day. The NHL schedule is packed. And it's time to decide what bets you're thinking of making before they drop the puck each night. And the perfect place to go for that is our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action.
And we're talking about all sports. So right now, the NBA, college basketball, baseball is right around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV show, and reality TV, which is great if you're watching The Bachelor, like us. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. In fact, they even have updated Stanley Cup division and awards odds available right now.
Yeah, BetOnline has you covered for all that news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device today, and you'll sign up to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Tuesdays on Locked On NHL, it's all about East Coast bias, as Locked On Sabres host Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano of Locked On Leafs take a look at the biggest stories in the Eastern Conference. From Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin to also Claude Giroux, to the defending champion Lightning, the up-and-coming Rangers, and everyone in between, I guess that's us, Locked On NHL is the place to be for Eastern Conference intel every Tuesday. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Danielle, so kind of looking at this past week in Phantoms action overall and kind of where this team is looking, one thing we didn't really get into yet is goaltending. Mm-hmm. And last week we talked about Zane McIntyre being, you know, he was kind of an unknown quantity to us, and he had been looking pretty solid so far. I think the key takeaway is that now we've seen Felix Sandstrom in one game, and that we've learned that Zane McIntyre is in fact a human goaltender and has bad games, which he did in that 4-2 loss.
Yeah. As good as he's been up until that point, you know, I'm not going to over-exaggerate in this game for just one game, but it is, you know, you kind of get knocked back down to reality because he didn't have his best game. And with Sandstrom, you know, he hasn't played in a while, so I definitely don't want to be down on him so soon, so far in the season. But I mean, there is a difference between play of McIntyre and Sandstrom, and just hopefully you got to hope that he can get his stride back and McIntyre can as well, and the team in front of them are able to figure it out with some consistency in their play.
Yeah, one thing we talked about last week was in terms of who would get those three starts. Mm-hmm. And I had said that I wanted McIntyre to get two of the three, which he did. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would be like alternating, except it was Zane got two and then Felix Sandstrom went in. So slightly different order, but that's how it panned out. But I'm also wondering, like, Felix Sandstrom is ostensibly the prospect goaltender mm-hmm. that we're working with. So hopefully now that Sandstrom has got a regular season start under his belt and, you know, they'll get a more regular rotation in, I think we'll be seeing more of him in future games just because, you know, they need to see him more than McIntyre.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens either. And, you know, with McIntyre, maybe a lighter load would be better for him. And so you just got to see how this works itself out. But yeah, I still think, like, I don't know. I've always been pretty high on Sandstrom, even though he didn't have that great of a season last season. So hopefully he can rebound and prove me right. And I can sound really smart and say, I always thought he was a really great goalie.
Yeah. So we still, I think, need to work on special teams. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, the power play got shut down in two of the three games. They scored twice on Saturday, which was great, but they had five opportunities and they still lost the game. So, you know, kind of grain of salt there. The PK was actually looking pretty good overall.
Yeah. And I'm hoping with, you know, I keep saying this, well, with the players that they got back, they can do something about this power play because, I mean,
absolutely.
You don't want to say it's losing them games, but I mean, like you said, 0-4, 0-4, 2-5. You know, I think it's pretty clear that they could win these games that they're losing. So you hope to see something in these next couple of upcoming games because, you know, with Akasha and a Willman and, you know, whoever else they put on that power play, hopefully they can get going.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this, but I think the other main takeaway from the week is that they need a bigger sense of urgency when they're down.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. At first, I kind of thought it was just them getting back into the groove, but you're right. I think there was a couple of times these past couple of games that we saw them down, and it didn't really seem like they were urgent and they were trying to dominate. Normally, you see a team like outshoot the others, but I really didn't feel like that was the kind of the vibe with this team this past week.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to come up with three top players of the week because it's really just Willman and Wisdom. But Max Willman got AHL Player of the Week, 5 goals in 3 games with a 4-game goal streak. So hats off to you, Max Willman. And there is an NHL contract available open on the Flyers now that Friedman is gone. Just saying.
That's true.
So upcoming games for the Phantoms, Wednesday versus Hershey, Saturday at Hershey and Monday at Wilkes-Barre Scranton. So it's a Pennsylvania polka, I guess, for the week. Sorry, that was terrible. But what isn't terrible is our Flyers fun thing, which is, of course, that Zade Wisdom amazing goal. So just watch it again and again. It'll just make you feel good inside. Thanks for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow to recap tonight's game that the Flyers are playing versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then, of course, we'll have some mailbag time as well. As a reminder, we want to hear from you. Send us in your mailbag questions via Twitter at LockedOnFlyers, or you can email us at LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle, and you can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. Thanks for listening and have a great day.